Turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. I want us to meditate upon another of the scenes attendant upon the birth of our Lord. I want to read from verse 26, chapter 1, the Gospel according to Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verses 26 through 38. Here we have the announcement from God by the angel Gabriel. In the realm of angels, we have one archangel, Michael. Then we have Gabriel, who's not designated as an archangel. But Gabriel occupies special position in the service of God. He's God's messenger. Now, God had messengers in the prophets. But when he had a particularly important message to be delivered, it fell to Gabriel's lot. Michael, the archangel, was the one who stood for the children of Israel, God Almighty's vice regent, you might call, over the house of Israel. So Gabriel comes from God Almighty to Galilee, to a city named Nazareth. What a sight that must have been. We've been in Nazareth. We were there on the Jewish Sabbath. And there wasn't any place open where we could eat. Went on to Tiberias. But I can visualize the angel Gabriel coming to Nazareth. And he comes to the Virgin Mary. In our study this morning, talking about the seed of the woman, we have the first reference in the Word of God to the virgin birth. That prophecy was somewhere, sometime, some when, somehow, down the corridors of time, there's going to be a virgin with the seed already in her body. Those of you familiar with biology know that the seed belongs to the male. But here's going to be one virgin with the seed in her body and not have to be planted there. The prophecy of Daniel, interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, who saw this great image symbolizing the four great Gentile powers. And the prophecy says that Nebuchadnezzar gazed upon that image until he saw a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Human being had nothing to do with the stone cut out of the mountains. Another reference to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can remember this 37th verse, you'll have no difficulty with the virgin birth of our Lord, nor His virgin life, nor His resurrection and ascension, His return, or anything else. If you can remember that with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible with God. Our Lord lamented the fact that His disciples did not have the faith of a little child. A little child believes anything, and it should be our portion to believe the Word of God. The angel comes to her. Her betrothal name, the one to whom she betrothed, rather, was Joseph. And her name was Mary. A betrothal was binding in those days. And I can remember way back in the dim ages of antiquity when sometimes ladies would sue someone for breach of promise, engaged to be married and they broke it, and sue them and get judgment against them. Of course, today is a different age, different era. Sometimes think a different planet. But we know how that goes. They were betrothed. So the angel came to Mary with this announcement. She was not to enter into this experience in ignorance. And neither was Joseph. They were to know what was transpiring. But evidently Joseph had difficulty accepting it, as we read in another place where he was prompted to put her away. But he was a good man, and he was going to put her away privately and not expose her to the eyes of the curious public. the appearance of an angel from the Lord, as the appearance of the Lord himself, was the occasion of fear, the occasion of fright. We ourselves are frightened because of the consciousness of the fact that we're not prepared to stand in his presence. And we think he's coming in judgment, and only in judgment. So as the angel comes to Mary, he says by way of introduction, "Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord." Again referring to Daniel, speaking of the Antichrist, it is said of him that he cared not for the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor of any God. The God of his fathers at one end, any God at the other, the desire of women in between. The desire of a Hebrew maid, the hope, the dream of that maid was that she would be the channel through which the Messiah would come. Hail, thou that art highly favored. You have been chosen out of all of the women to be the channel through which Messiah is coming. Chosen from among women is to be noted in the fact that when our Lord attended the wedding feast at Cana, and they soon found themselves out of wine, Mary told the servants, now, or first told him, said, "They're out of wine." And he then says to her, "Woman, what is that to me?" And the word he used for woman is the word he'd use for any woman. You notice here it says, "Blessed art thou among women." Among women. Not above women, but among them. Hanging on the cross, he said to Mary, as she stood there with the beloved disciple John, he said, "Woman," and again he used the word applicable to all women, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John he said, "Son, behold thy mother." And from that day forward, John took her to his home and cared for her as he would his mother. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why should he thus address me? Why should he come to see me? This representative of God. It troubled her, perplexed her. The angel said, "Fear not, thou hast found favor with God." What a great day that was. You know, I found favor with God. Had you heard? I found favor with him. He saved me. He died for me. He redeemed me. He saved me. I have been highly favored and am highly favored of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am and I have what I have. Now, the angel delivers a message to her composed of seven parts. Everywhere I go, with few exceptions, my brother ministers in the gospel, Bible teachers, professors, accept the first four things spoken of here but deny the remaining three. I have never yet learned how one can take part of a verse of Scripture and deny the other part. Is this God's Word or not? If you can delete this passage or that passage, why not throw the whole thing away? Now he says concerning her, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. These scholars and professors believe, to a certain degree, the virgin birth. I might have to qualify that statement a little bit. They get hung up there sometimes, because they have never known or witnessed such an experience. They say it's impossible. But that one named Jesus was born is accepted by them. One born of Mary called Jesus is accepted. That he was a great man is accepted. They have difficulty accepting the fact that he was born of God and called the Son of the Highest, but then they equate his sonship with your and my sonship. He believes in God, therefore he is a new creation in God, etc. But when it comes to the prophecy that the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there be no end, they say that's spiritual, so-called. People talk of spiritualizing the Scripture when really they mean phantomizing it. The Word is spiritual. But they phantomize it and make it to appear as a dream or as a fantasy. Now I want you to notice the things that take place. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. I have never heard anybody deny the existence of a person named Jesus, born of Mary. I've never heard that denied. I've heard his parentage questioned. I've heard them speak of him as just an ordinary man, as a great teacher, many other things. But they all acknowledge that there was one who walked across the pages of history called Jesus. Even Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews has a short paragraph about Jesus. Perhaps I told this in days gone by, but the Lord brings it to my attention at this time. Jesus is recognized by all as one of the leaders of the world. Number one, they accept that literally. Now, the next thing is, he shall be great. He shall be great. One of the stable magazines that used to bring a great deal of reading pleasure to the public, that was in the days when pornography was unknown. And the pictures that fill the magazines today were not in existence. And you could pick up this magazine, the American magazine, pick it up and read it with pleasure and with profit. And I remember way back in my high school days, I guess it was, they ran a series of articles on the 10 greatest men that ever lived. And they said Jesus was number one. He was number one. They condescended to call him the number one man that ever lived. Now, Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're that unnamed prophet. But John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, and that prophet were all but human beings. And this magazine, listing the 10 greatest men, listed Jesus as a man. Great. He shall be great. Who had a greater birth? Who lived a greater life? Who performed greater miracles? Who comforted and sustained in a greater way? Whose teaching evoked the remark from the rabbis and priests, "Never man taught like this. This isn't a man." He was great as he hung on the cross, oblivious to his own pain and suffering, conversing with the thief on the cross, delegating his mother to John and telling John of the responsibility he had to marry his mother. Great. He is great. He's the greatest. Not only that, he should be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. Peter, in his great confession at Caesarea Philippi, in response to the question of our Lord, "Whom say ye that I am?" replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He called him the Son of the living God. But higher than that, at his baptism, coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God descending like a dove to abide upon him, through the open heavens, God Almighty spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, as the Lord, accompanied by Moses and Elijah, appeared there on the mount, transfigured before them, Peter, James, and John, having gone up the mountainside with him, heard this exultation from heaven. "This," spoke God Almighty, "is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." But he added a few words. Not only is this my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but he said, "Hear ye him." Obey him. Obey him. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. Teachers, preachers, professors apparently have little difficulty with that. But when it comes to the three remaining parts of this message from God Almighty through Gabriel, he says here, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There are those who blindly believe that Christ is seated today on David's throne. There are others who contend that the throne of David is in our hearts and he's reigning there. But David had a throne. He had a real throne, a material throne, a throne upon which he sat. He ascended that throne in the city of Hebron and reigned there for 7 years over the house of Judah. After the 7 years, he moved to Jerusalem, and his throne was there in the palace, and he reigned there 30-some-odd years. David's throne. We read in numerous prophecies that that throne's going to be reestablished. David himself's going to be raised from the dead to sit again upon that throne. But God Almighty has given to the Lord Jesus Christ the throne of David. Our Lord is seated on the Father's throne with the Father at the right hand of the Father. Not on his throne, not on David's throne, but the throne of the Father. But when he comes back, he's going to ascend the throne of David and sit there. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The King of the Jews, in Satan's antagonism toward the seed of the woman, another way in which he has attempted to prevent the children of Israel from occupying the place of prominence God has promised, we find him trying to do away with the nation of Israel. 6 million of them he caused to be destroyed in the concentration camps in Germany. But unable to exterminate them, unable to amalgamate them, unable to assimilate them, Satan today, and believe me, Satan today is trying to do away with the house of Jacob, with the children of Israel, through integration, trying to absorb the 18 or 19 million Jewish people into the race. But God Almighty is keeping them segregated and separate. Though a few branch off here and there, the majority of them remain the children of Israel until this day. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Satan doesn't want the Lord to return, and he doesn't want him to rule and to reign, because when Christ returns, he's going to ascend the throne and rule and reign and displace and depose Satan. But here's the promise of God through Gabriel, his messenger. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there shall be no end. It'll reach out into eternity, and it will grow and grow and grow and grow. There'll be no end. Chronologically or any other way of his kingdom, there will be no end. Kingdoms have risen and fallen all over this earth. And incidentally, I might say, the epitaph on the tombstones of the nations might well be risen and fallen because of their treatment of the nation of Israel. There's that prophecy. Look at it. Four things have been fulfilled. There still remains three. And those three will not be fulfilled until Christ returns. Mary conceived in her womb and she brought forth a son. That's fulfilled. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's fulfilled. He shall be great. That was fulfilled. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's been fulfilled. We await the fulfillment of the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. You recall when the wise men came into the streets of Jerusalem? Where is he that has been born King of the Jews? Where is he? He's already been born. We saw his star that came forth the moment he was born. We saw that star in the east at his birth called the King of the Jews. The writing on the cross of which he was crucified. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's what Pilate wrote. Pilate still had one spark of manhood in him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Pilate and said, change that writing on the cross and make it read, he said he was King of the Jews. That spark of manhood manifested itself in Pilate when he literally stormed at them, what I have written, I have written. The Greek is very expressive. Hagiographa, hagiographa. That's it. There it is, and there it's going to stay. King of the Jews. God's going to give him the throne of his father David. That's yet to be fulfilled. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob as King of the Jews, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. That still awaits fulfillment. Now, let's notice the reaction. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can I be with child without normal relationship with a man? Okay, here it is. The angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee. I emphasize the words. That holy thing. That sinless, that impeccable thing. That thing that cannot sin. Which shall be born of thee. Shall be called the Son of God. I have no more difficulty accepting the birth of Christ of the Virgin Mary than I do believing the miracle of the birth of a child. That's a miracle itself. Now, he tells her this, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. You remember Elizabeth, Zechariah, how that when he was in the temple, ministering about the things of the temple, and the angel came and told him that he was going to be the father of a son, and told him that his name was to be John. He was in there so long with the angel of God, that the people outside were fearful that their sacrifice had not been accepted. And they were wondering what was going to transpire. But after a while, John came out and told of that which was to happen. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. He was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ on his mother's side. John the Baptist, 6 months older than he was. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now the surrender of Mary. Little did she know what was to happen. Little did she dream of the heartaches that were coming her way. But she says here, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. We have another in the scripture who yielded to the demands of God as easily. And I speak of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, when the Lord appeared unto him, made himself known unto him. Upon his conversion, the acceptance of Jesus as the Christ, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Mary says, according to thy word, let it be. Let it be according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her. I want to quote this passage of scripture once more. I want you to remember it. It's one of the great prophecies in the Word of God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Father, dismiss us with thy loving care and thy tender mercies. Come to us to our homes. May we find everything there as we left it. And go rejoicing, if such be the case, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.